Proverbs chapter 24 tonight. Proverbs and chapter 24. We are still in Proverbs 24. We're getting to the end of this section in Proverbs 24. There's kind of a section here of wise sayings. Of course, there's a lot more wise sayings, but it's kind of its own little section. And want to look at, we're going to start with a couple verses tonight. And these verses are going to give us, we're going to look in this. If you'll notice on the top of your page there, it says Lesson 71, Part 1. I already know it's going to be 2 weeks. Okay, it's, and the reason for that is we're going to look at something this evening. Tonight we're going to settle from the Scriptures, the biblical perspective of how to resist the government. Proverbs 24, 21. Let's read here. He says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" Okay, I said we're going to settle tonight. Well, tonight, maybe next week. We're going to settle this, but I want to give us a question to ponder. Is there ever a time to resist the government? Don't answer those questions. When I ask a rhetorical question, don't answer, because if you answer wrong, you're going to feel bad about answering wrong. So, is there ever a time, rhetorical question, no answer needed. Is there ever a time to resist the government? We're pondering this. Think about this. And then second thing I want us to think about, when should we start a revolution? Okay, when should we start a revolution? Okay, number one, fear the Lord and the king. Fear the Lord and the king. Okay, so can we just really vibrate? Matthew, could we just turn on just a little bit? Just, I don't know if y'all hear that vibration, but do you? Oh, man, it's like rings up here. It's weird because if I come over here, it's gone. But it's this thing's fault. Anyway, the order here is important. The order is important. So, number one, we first and foremost place the Lord primary in this list. Amen? Between the Lord and the king, the Lord is primary. Okay? It's not the Lord or the king, or it's not the Lord and the king even. It's primarily the Lord. When we have this order right, the rest will fall into place very nicely. When the Lord is primary between the Lord and anybody, when we have that primary, everything else will fall into place. But anytime we get that out of order, it's going to create chaos in our life. Who do we often put in front of the Lord? Yeah, this guy with his two thumbs, right? Who we normally put in front of the Lord is me. And when we put me in front of the Lord, it creates chaos in our life. It actually affects our decision making. Terribly bad. So when we're looking at this tonight, we see the Lord and the king. It's in that order with the Lord being primary. Number two, what the Lord has instructed supersedes anything that the king might set in order. You follow me with that? What the Lord has already instructed. By the way, the Lord doesn't give me something new. Well, God told me to do that. No, stop it. Don't ever say, the government said to do this, but God told me to go kill somebody. There's been Christians say stuff like that. You know, look at me crazy, but there's been Christians say, God told me to go kill this person. I don't think so. You haven't got a one-track connection to God that God tells you something different than He's told the rest of the Word of God, right? And so what the Lord has already said, instructed, supersedes anything the king might set in order. B, fear. What does it mean? Look here again in verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. So what does fear mean? Number one, our initial thought of fear is really an emotional one. Right? When we think of fear, we're thinking about being scared of something, right? When we think about our vernacular, the word fear today, really, of course, we know it has other meanings, but our first thought is that it's an emotional one. We can find an example of this in Proverbs 10:24. If you want to look over there real quick, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24, we find this example of an emotional fear. Proverbs 10:24. It says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. So what the wicked are afraid of will come upon them. Okay? What they're afraid of will come upon them. This is what the Lord is saying. What their fear, what they're afraid of, what they're scared of, it's going to come upon them is what God's saying. It's a punishment for their wickedness. But then he said there, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. See, so there's a contrast over there. So look here, number two. But typically, in the book of Proverbs, fear is speaking of what? Reverence. Speaking of reverence, respect, or submission. To fear God isn't to be afraid of Him. Oh, I'm scared of what God's going to do to me. Well, maybe there's a little bit of that. Kind of like we might fear my dad. My dad finds out I'm going to be in trouble. Okay, I don't know. Maybe that is still the emotional fear. I don't know. But when we have reverence for God, we want to please Him, right? We have respect for Him. We respect, and so we have this kind of it's a bit of a different meaning than sometimes we. Because we respect and we have reverence for God, we will then will submit to Him. And that's kind of what that fear kind of looks like. Number three, therefore, fear is either passive or active. Okay, we're going to do a little English lesson tonight. Okay, passive or active. A, passive fear happens to us. Okay, if there's a passive action, something happened to us. Okay, so when I think about being scared, I don't go I'm going to go get scared unless you go like maybe to a haunted house. Okay. Then I'm going to go get myself scared, or people that watch horror movies. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would ever want to watch something anyway, that's different. So, but when something comes up, like you hear all of a sudden, if we're in here and all of a sudden we hear a big boom or a big crash outside, fear would come upon us without me even thinking about it. It would just, and then you're like, what was that? Some of y'all would be holding your heart like me. I might be one of them. You're like, whoa, what happened there, right? That's happened to us, right? Passive. B, active fear we decide to have. Okay? Active fear, this thing of reverence, respect, or submission, that is something we decide to revere God, to respect Him. And to submit to Him. See, Solomon's instruction for his son was to choose to fear both the Lord and the king. What Solomon was telling his son, when he says here, let's go back to it. When he says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, he's saying, make a choice. Make the decision to respect, honor, and submit to both the Lord and the King. Number one, that choice, right, that choice to do that, will affect the next part of this verse. Look again, verse 21, Proverbs 24, 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. What we're going to really deal with for the next couple weeks. That phrase right there. Number two, meddle not. So, A under there, this is speaking of making an association with. It's talking about making an association with, joining with, or getting involved with. So he says this meddling, the word meddling that we have in our Bible is that idea to be involved with. So we think of meddling. Don't be meddling with me. That almost sounds like conflict, doesn't it? It's actually quite the opposite here. What it means here is just getting together with, associating with, to join with them or getting involved. Can I say this? Listen to what I'm saying here. It might be getting involved with their cause, getting involved with their purpose. As remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were saying, what? Hosanna in the highest, right? Putting palm leaves down. They were so excited. It wasn't too long later, they were shouting what? Crucify Him! Crucify Him! You know what they did? Can I tell you what happened? They meddled with those that started that. Who started that? Well, probably some of the Jewish Sanhedrin or some of the ones that they had gotten. And so what they did is others then meddled with their cause. Right? They got together. And do you think those people that encouraged him probably had some very good reasoning? Pretty good justification? This guy's turning the world upside down. I'm telling you, if he keeps doing this, we're not going to get to even be Jews here. We're going to have to be pagans like the Romans. Remember, I mean, imagine they had some all kinds of stories. They said, next thing you know, the people that were over there saying, Hosanna in the highest. And they came and said, stop these people. And Jesus said, if I do, the rocks will cry out. That's how insistent these people were. Now here they are a little bit later. They meddled with, they associated themselves, they joined with this group that had this cause. And so, so number one under that, we are here instructed to not get involved with who? It's a question. We're instructed not to get involved with who. So in other words, who is he talking about here? Well, he says, them that are given to change. Them that are given to change. Those are people that don't like dollar bills. They only like coins. Them that are given to change. No. Coin collectors. Don't get involved with coin collectors. No. Okay. Number two. It is universally agreed upon. When I say universally agreed upon, every Bible scholar that I looked up, everyone that I examined, everyone agrees on this. This is a universally accepted, that it is universally agreed upon that this phrase is referring to those that would attempt to resist the government. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I agree with you. Well, you don't have to agree with me. You disagree with everyone else that's a Bible scholar. Not that I'm a Bible scholar. I read Bible scholars. I study after Bible scholars. I find, you know, and everything I see and everyone, we're gonna find that you say, well, I'm not sure if that's what it says. Well, anyway, that's what we're going to go with. And it doesn't matter if you disagree with that here because we're going to prove it in the scriptures later on anyhow. So A under that. Thus, what we're talking about, meaning agitators, rebels, and those defying civil order. So when we talk about them that are given to change, it almost sounds like, well, because sometimes this, I will say as a little caveat on that, some have extrapolated it to mean more than just those resisting the government. They somewhat broadened it. Well, it could be to any of this, you know. We as Baptists would probably like to preach that. Yeah, those progressives that like to go. You're right. We'd probably say, but the reality is, it's really kind of most. It's almost universally agreed upon that it's those agitators, rebels, and those defying civil order. So B. So to make it clear for us, this verse is instructing. Is this? Do not associate or otherwise get involved with those that would rebel against the government. Okay. Number one. Under that. So then, we as believers have no scriptural or otherwise spiritual authorization or indication that it would please God to be involved in any form of resistance to the government. Now we're getting a little bit. Now we're getting on a little bit of slippery ground, isn't it? That feels a little bit. Starts to feel a little uncomfortable now, doesn't it? You're like, Pastor, we're saying things that could have went either way, but now we're kind of going one way rather than the other way. Okay, I know you're like, well, this isn't, let's stay with me. A, which would likewise include ridicule or denouncing our political leadership. We have this whole, are y'all familiar with the acronym TDS? Trump Derangement Syndrome? It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. I didn't know until recently that there's this acronym. And people say, there's too many people that have TDS. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'd look it up. The whole Trump Derangement Syndrome is completely unchristian. Somebody that says, don't we see that in our society every day? Almost, I mean, we've been seeing it for like, I don't know, 10 years now. If whatever Trump is for, there's a whole group of people that say I'm against him. Remember the last, several elections when Trump won, there was people called the Never Trumpers? These were Republicans. I will never vote for Trump. They were just, and now it's, now a lot of those have changed their tune. Like, okay, I guess he's all right. Now the other side, they just absolutely hate anything that he agrees with. Trump derangement syndrome. I've heard of Christian people that completely despise him. Can I just say this to you, folks? It is completely unchristian to despise our government leader. The Bible talks about where to pray for. You know, there's certainly some things there. And I'm not going to get into all that because it's too much for all of it. But then we see also in our society today, we see the resistance that we're seeing against ICE doing their job. ICE doing their job. Can I tell you, to resist a government police force, if we call it that, I guess to say, to resist them doing their job is unchristian. Blessed are the peacemakers. Say, well, I just don't agree with what they're doing. Oh, because that supersedes, right? If we think it's wrong, then we can decide we can go against the police. We're gonna see some things here. Where we see this kind of stuff, and there's people that think, and I've watched some, there's a lot of Christian organizations today that are hiding illegal aliens that have escaped into our country, and they're hiding them so that the government can't find them, and they would claim to be doing the business of the Lord. They would claim to be, we're protecting people, we're doing this kind of thing. So, but can I also say along this line of what would be involved of these going across, there's also people that say this, maybe this one, remember this one not so long ago, bumper stickers all over, Biden is not my president. Right? He's not my president, and there becomes this constant resistance. And so when we look over here at the one side, yeah, these people are bad, and then we realize back over here, the other people that were saying they're bad are now the bad ones. And so it kind of goes. And then people, I don't know that I've ever seen as many profanity-laced flags as that were tied to Biden. I don't even see them as much with Trump. Man, it was just aggressive. And you going down the street, and things that were up there, and it just became a mockery. So, this non-resistance instruction to the government is a pretty strong position. It's a pretty strong position that we're finding here, where he says here, meddle not with them that are given to change. Can I say this? It's not too popular among conservative Christians today to say we're not to resist the government. It's not too popular among conservative Christians today. Amen? All right, it's not too popular. So number two, why would the Scripture give us such an overwhelming and encompassing command? I mean, why would the Scripture say this? Why would it say here to meddle not with them? And it goes on, it says verse 22, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? He said, man, what's coming is going to be, it's going to be harsh, it's going to be, you know, not, don't get involved with that. Why would the Lord be such a, look at A. Because It is the Lord who sets them up as well as removes them. So B, essentially God is saying this, I have appointed them. So let me ask you this question. How would you like to take up arms against the Lord? How would you like to be opposition to the Lord? Sound like a pretty good fight? Sounds like a pretty stupid one. Really, really bad. I don't think any of us would say, you know, I think I'm just going to go against God on this one. I don't think any of us would willingly do that. So what the Lord is saying here is, I have appointed them. When you resist who I have appointed, see, therefore, to resist the government, even carnal, evil, heathen leaders, is to oppose God Himself. So, we're going to see some examples here, some scripture. I wrote it out here because we don't have time to go all over, but you can look this up a little bit later. Isaiah 45:1. Thus saith the Lord to His, what's that word? Anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. This was written in 700 B.C. He said here, Isaiah said here, that God anointed this pagan king. Is that what it says? By the way, this is about 150 years before Cyrus came. This was well prophesied before Cyrus was even born. Before his daddy, maybe before his granddaddy was born. Maybe his granddaddy was there, but I'm telling you, it goes way back. Look at Daniel 2:21. And he says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. Watch what he says here. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. This is 100 years later. Now we're at 600 B.C. Listen, here's what he says. Scripture tells us, Daniel's talking about God. He says, He removes kings and He sets up kings. Do we believe that? Ooh, because now the way I framed it, it's a little harder to disagree with that. Do we believe what the Bible says? Yeah. The Bible says, God says He sets up kings and He removes kings. Okay, let's look at Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now in the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Okay, now look at, we talked about Isaiah said this about Cyrus way back there. But Jeremiah talked about the time frame of the captivity ended. And that's why he's talking about Jeremiah. He says this, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now this was in 538 B.C. It's where we began our post-exilic Israel. It's where it started there with this Persian king that the Lord stirred up his spirit and put in him that God had given him the kingdoms, and here's what he was supposed to do. It is God who stirs, watch this, even a pagan king's heart. Was Cyrus a godly man? Nothing gives us the idea that he was a godly man. Nothing. Nothing suggests that he was a godly man other than right here. He was stirred by God to do this. So we find, can God stir an evil, wicked man? We find that with Nebuchadnezzar. Right? We could find that through different kings. Darius, we could find that through these kings. Through God stirred the hearts of, and he hardened the hearts of Pharaoh. And I mean, we just find this. We find this thing throughout the scriptures that God has, as he said back there in Isaiah, whose right hand I have holden. You see, God has got some control over these things. See, But this is not just an Old Testament concept either. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I want us to see this here. It's not just so lest we say, well, that was just back there in the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. The Bible says, let every soul be, what's that next word? Subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So, number one, under there is a clear indication in Scriptures that God is still the one setting up leaders and taking them down. This was written in 57 AD, 57 years after the birth of Christ. A under that. There's also a clear indication of what God thinks about those that would resist His appointed leader. Look at verse 2. We're in Romans 13, verse 2. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay, so, look folks, I'm not trying to find stuff to make it say what I want it to say. You're like, Pastor, I think you're just looking for things to stir us up. I'm just going through verse by verse, right? And we get there, I searched somewhere in the Scriptures that would have some example of righteous rebellion or righteous resistance against the government or against rulers, but I didn't find any. I didn't find any. Now some of you can say, well, there's over here, this one didn't do that. We're going to talk about that next week. But not against an insurrection against a nation. We're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look at that next week. But let me ask you, we're going to end with this here. But number two, are there evil rulers? Absolutely. Absolutely there's evil rulers. There have always been evil people in the world whom God has used for His purpose. No. There's always been evil people in the world that God has used for His purpose. And what has He done with those? God has used the wicked to discipline His people throughout the ages. This isn't anything new. Amen? We find record of that throughout the Scriptures. We find this all the way through God using. We think about, you know, Babylon and all these kind of things. We find this that God used it, and it very clearly says He was using them to judge His people. This is what we just got done looking at in Nehemiah, and He dealt with this. He said and the people said, God gave us this land, but because our fathers turned back, He used this nation, and now here we are subject to them, and we serve them, and they enjoy the fruit of our land. God has used wicked kings for discipline and redirecting His people. That is a very clear understanding in the Word of God. But A, let me say this as we finish. It doesn't change our instruction from the Lord. It doesn't change our instruction from the Lord because of what others did. And I wish I could go back because it probably left you with more questions than answers. So you got to come back next week. Because the next point I'm going to talk about is our response to that, to those evil rulers, and our response to these things. And we're going to find that we actually find a lot of examples in the Scriptures. We would say this often. I would say this often. And what you do, your sin shouldn't cause me to sin. Right? If you lie, cheat, and steal, I don't say, well, to compete with you, I've also got to lie, cheat, and steal. Right? What others do doesn't change what God's called me to do. And I'm telling you, folks, that's sometimes a big pill to swallow. Right? Because we live in a world, by the way, the world's always been full of wicked people. full of some really bad characters that want to do some really bad things. And we're going to look at that next week. And we're going to look at some of the things, the deception, the trickery, the political maneuvering. We're going to find all that. It's all in the Scriptures. We find all these things. But what we're going to find is people that are in the Scriptures and how they responded to that. And how, can I say this, how God blessed them for how they responded without meddling with them, right? Without meddling with them that are given to change. And it is a little bit different, our thinking. Our thinking is well developed by our society today. And so we want to get our thinking redeveloped by the Word of God. And we're going to spend some more time. I wish I could have dealt with it now, but we're literally halfway through all the material I have. And we had a lot here that was verses, so next week is going to be geared in for next week. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the time tonight, thankful for your word. And Lord, even when the truth, the direction, instruction is a little bit against our own, always it's against our flesh, and yet sometimes it's against our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek your way, seek your will. Lord, we would desire to be clothed in your righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, Lord, all the things that are set before us the rest of this week. And we'll give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.